Thank you, Ann. Appreciate that. And, you know, when you look at the scriptures, and when I was looking at this passage, both passages, you can spend a lot of time into the scriptures just to get to the passage. And I'm so glad that you brought in the how this thing developed in both cases, because Abraham's story is a long story. And by the time you get to Isaac, you know, you just pretty much fall asleep. With Jesus, the same way. But we've got the main parts of the story, of both stories here. And what we're dealing with here in both cases is that there is a promise that God promises his people whom he chooses. And that means not the people of Israel out there, but if he chooses you and me. And when he chooses something, he promises what it is that he's choosing about and what it is that he wants to do. And then he fulfills his promise. It might take a while, and that's where the story gets a little bit long, but that's okay. Stories are long. And this is why when we read the scriptures, we find that it's amazing how people passed story after story. They didn't write it all down all at once. And stories were passed on, and people began to understand life as the stories went from one era to another, and from one family to another, and it was passed on to this day. And the promise is a promise which God fulfills, which is a wonderful thing, because we know that whatever God promises, he will fulfill. And I think in one of the cases that we see in the fulfillment of these stories is where Isaiah, and we did some of this last week, brought the promise of God in terms of, and a son will be provided, and a son will be given, and the government will be upon him, and he will provide. And this was way back in Isaiah telling us about Jesus. And how did they know anything? Well, they didn't, but God provided the idea to Isaiah. He told him, this is what's going to happen. Tell the people that this will happen, because this is a promise that I'll give to you. Today, we find that promises are given to all of us in one way or another. And at this point, we find the story of Isaac, that Isaac is a little boy, a young man, a teenager, probably 14, 15, and he wonders, Dad, I know what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to have a fire here, and we're supposed to offer a sacrifice, and we know what we sacrifice. We sacrifice a lamb. But where is the sacrifice? And Abraham has nothing to say, because he himself doesn't understand what's going on, which tells us a little bit about what promises are. When God gives us a promise and when he speaks to us, we don't have to understand everything. But if we know that God is talking to us and he's promising something, now we move into the area of belief. However, something that is interesting about this whole passage and what we'll be doing here today is that people might say to you, well, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, everybody believes in God. Do you believe in this? Do you believe in Jesus? Sure. Believe in the Presbyterian Church? Yeah, the Methodist too, and the Baptist and all those. But that doesn't mean anything. A belief is something that we put in our minds and, you know, you work. But there's got to be more than just a belief. There's got to be trust. You might believe in what people say, but you don't have to trust it, because you don't understand. You don't know if really is that the truth. Is that really what? And it sounds good. It may mean something for me today, but will it be okay for me later? Is that for all of us or just for a particular people? So we begin to think in terms of trust. Do I trust the message that God has given me? And this is where the main issue in this particular story of Abraham and with Jesus is not just believing, but actually trusting. You know, right now we are in the midst of something that is amazing, a scientific understanding of the world and of nature and of the universe. And soon we're going to be sending a spaceship that should have gone already, but it didn't. But that's okay, because, and this is where we put our trust. We believe that the scientists know how to do this thing. We believe in the program. We believe that the great things will happen. But beyond that, we trust that those who are behind the program know what they're doing, and that they're not going to do something until they're ready and that they know that this thing is going to go. Trust, and we trust them. My dad was a math teacher, and he taught in high school trigonometry and algebra and all of those courses, getting kids ready for college, algebra and whatnot. And people understood the beginnings of math, and that got them ready to move into college courses that then they would take and go into engineering and other things and medicine and whatnot. So you begin small, but you move on. But somewhere along the line, somebody's got to begin, start the thing, and then you have to believe not only that they're teaching you the right thing, but you trust them that this is the correct way of looking at it, because sooner or later you're going to move into a different situation and it's going to be deeper and you're going to be really involved in it. So you need that trust. When Abraham went up to this hill and he was about to sacrifice his son, he was doing it because he believed that God was telling him the truth. He trusted in God. And then God at that point, at one point in particular, decided, okay, this man really trusts me. And he sent his angel and says, whoa, Abraham, don't do that. I have provided for you a proper sacrifice. And I'm sure Abraham was very happy, and so was Isaac. They saw a little, and by the way, I'm going to leave that hanging for you. It was not a lamb that got caught in this thicket. It was a ram. Now, what's the difference between a ram and a lamb? I'm going to let you think about that and do some research, because there is a difference, and very important. However, because we're talking about the Lamb of God, and we're comparing now that to what Jesus is, the Lamb of God, we're going to leave it at that. That is the Lamb of God. God has provided right from the very beginning. His provision is that there will be a way out of any circumstance. And then in the Bible, we read the stories. Gosh, we read about the faith that Noah had when he built that ark. Now, some people say, well, that was just a story. Well, you know what? In most religions, there is an ark. Do you know that? Somewhere along the line, the story of the ark is there. And there's somebody who trusted in God, in a voice, in an amazing voice that said, you know, you need to build this thing out of wood out there. There's no water or anything, but and the whole idea was, trust me, something is going to happen, but I want you to be safe. I want you and your family and those that I have given you, I want to provide safety. And somebody took that as faith and they built the ark. Okay, so that was that. And then there was somebody who was thrown in a lion's den. You remember the story. And what happened to the lions? Their mouths were closed. They were shut because God sent an angel to make sure that there was safety there. And that, again, is a provision that God gives to people who understand that God is gives a promise and that you follow him and that he will be being trusted. He will do what he says he will do. The thief on the cross, a man that didn't deserve to die, to live, he deserved to die. He did something very wrong. But somewhere along the line, a moment of faith came in his mind. And he thought Jesus dying on the cross and talking and saying whatever Jesus said at this moment. And the thief says, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." There was a faith there. And by the way, again, you know, sometimes you and I may have a feeling that when we're really low, when really things are happening to our lives and not something that we really want, something tragic perhaps, that even in that at that time, God is working in our lives and saying, "Have faith, I am with you always, even unto the end of all things." This thief, he didn't have a whole lot of understanding of theology, philosophy, or he was not that well educated probably. But something came into his mind and he trusted that this Jesus must have been the Lamb of God, must have something, because here he was praising God and praying for the people around him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this man said, "There's got to be something with him. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." The promised Messiah, of course, Jesus. Faith comes by the way of the cross. Yes, the way of pain and suffering. Somehow, you know, we'd like to have it all be perfect and no pain, no suffering, no cost. And yet it seems that we need to go through periods of time where there's a stressful situation and we find that God is in distress, helping us, motivating us, touching us, moving us in various different ways, in different directions, so that we grow through it. So that stressful situation, if we look at it maybe a little bit later on, we find that it was something that brought to us some good, something that brought to us some safety, something new, something that brought life to us, and we said, "Thank you, God, for that." Abraham, according to the scriptures that we just read, was blessed beyond anything that we can think of. God says, "And you and your family will be blessed as much as the sands of the fields, as the dust of the field, you will be blessed." What a blessing. Now, who was he was he a great man, Abraham? He was just a man. He was just a person. But it was a person of faith, a person, not only one who believed, but one who trusted. You know, it is so easy to listen to the voices that come to us from various situations and areas. They're voices from all ways of life. And who do we listen to? The one that has the most powerful voice? The one who has the better argument? The one that is right on top of things at this time? It is difficult at times to figure out, who do I listen to? Because I like that argument. It really makes sense to me. But is that the argument to trust? We are people that are really descendants of the Greeks. We like reasoning. We like to put things in our minds and work it out. And then we like the argumentation out there and see which argument is better than the other argument, or how much more do they know than this other group. And then we'll take sides. Now, here we find that that's not really what God is talking about. We're talking about faith and trust. Not in the voices, not in the wind out there, but rather what God is saying to me today. Through my pain, through my quietness, through my sleeplessness, through the struggle that I am having right now, through the hunger that people might have, and some people are really hungry, and when we see the floods that are taking place now, we feel so, so bad about them, wish we could do something, and there's nothing much we can do. God is there. God is doing something, and God's sense of love and joy and peace comes to them, hopefully, as he comes to us. Where is our resolve to listen to God? And it's different to every one of us, for we have our education that plays a great deal of feeling as to where I am going to move from now on. What am I going to do? How do I believe? Or feelings of religions. I am very religious. I'm really down to earth, I'm just going to be very religious. Or am I going to listen to the crowd? Am I going to listen to those around the cross? Am I going to listen to those who are putting out all of this amazing amount of knowledge? Am I listening to God? God says that his voice is very quiet, sometimes very, very small. That voice, am I listening to that? God will promise to us that he will be with us forever, always. Abraham looked at the place where the ram was, and the sacrifice took place with that ram, a lamb, as the Lamb of God. And he called that place, God will provide. To you and to me and to all of us, God has provisions and he will provide. No questions asked. He will provide. For we love him, we believe in him, we trust in him. And Jesus came to give us his life, not a sermon, not a lecture, not a system. He came to give us his life. That thief knew very much what he was doing. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Amen.